I remember they had a concert at the White House. Stevie Wonder was performing. And the president looked around and he spotted Stevie and he waved at him. What? You cannot make this shit up. And I remember Laura looked at him like, you're such an asshole. It really made me think about how we got to where we are, you know? How did it happen? And, you know, it turns out a lot of people in the country feel that we have gone to hell in a handbasket. They're concerned about morality, not necessarily theirs. They're more concerned about your morality. You know what I mean? You see it. You see it manifest itself in the weirdest places. SpongeBob. Poor little motherfucker SpongeBob. It's a cartoon. Why the fuck it was SpongeBob? What do we know about him? We know he ain't got no genitalia. Okay? I've never seen it. All I know about SpongeBob is that he lives in a pineapple under the motherfucking sea. That's all you know. It's like that damn Teletubby. That poor little Teletubby had a pocketbook. Everybody said, oh, he must be gay. Teletubby also had no genitalia. And the question is, who is thinking of this shit? And why? What makes people's minds go to that place that it must be this? And you see where we came from in so many ways. That whole Janet Jackson thing fucked a lot of people's heads up. It really did. One black breast popped out on screen for 4 seconds. If you blinked, it was gone. But apparently those who didn't blink saw it and said, ah! Little kids in the Midwest turned to stone after they saw it. This one breast stopped an entire nation. And people started saying, no, we gotta work on, we gotta take care of stuff. Bad stuff's happening on TV, bad stuff's happening on the radio. I mean, crazy shit. They pulled off Saving Private Ryan because it had bad language and different content. You know how many times the fucking thing's been on television? But they pulled it off because apparently we're too dumb to know what we don't like. Don't have enough sense to turn it off if you don't like it. Now, we do know that there's always gonna be assholes everywhere. Everywhere. We saw those assholes on, what is that name of that station? These idiots here in the city? What? Not Fox. The radio station. What the fuck? You know what I mean? This was dumb shit. And the way that you say this is dumb shit is you turn them fucking assholes off. You just turn them off and turn them off, man. You know? Because we're smart enough to draw the line at what's appropriate and what's not. That was inappropriate. That's the fucking simple. But now, do we go that extra distance and involve the government in it in some way? Well, that's what people keep saying. Well, we don't want more government. But every time I turn around, I feel like the government's getting further and further up my ass. And sometimes I want to look back and say, you some fucking KY, are you coming at me like that? Shit. You know? God damn. I mean, it's crazy. And there's a whole religious thing going on. And be really clear, I love God. I think God is a wonderful thing. I have a lot of confidence in God, as God has in me. My relationship with God is good. It's not as good as George and God, but it's good enough for me. And as I suspect your relationship to God, whoever you believe in, is good enough for you. But when God starts entering into politics, into a country which is not a religious state, I get nervous. I get nervous because, you know, that's when the fanatics start popping out and shit. And we've seen enough of it in other countries to recognize this shit, except maybe we haven't because here we go, going right after them. And I think to myself, damn, doesn't anybody remember what happened when Kennedy was elected, John Kennedy? People lost their minds. He was the first Catholic president, and people were afraid that he was going to have the Pope flying over every week to hang in the White House and sit around and make policy with her. And Kennedy would go, what the fuck are you talking? The fucking guy doesn't even travel. He ain't coming over here. You think with all the shit I'm into, I would have him in the house? Hell no. No. But people were that concerned about it because they wanted to maintain the separation of church and state. It's fundamental to who we are as a nation. And I think that's an okay thing. It's what makes America great. Your ability to believe in what you believe in and who you believe in, and you're free to do so. So I get real nervous, you know, because when I start thinking about religion and politics, I see people on courthouse steps from when I was a kid down south waving the Bible at people. And they used to open the Bible up to people who was coming to vote. They go, look here, Negro. See what it says right there? God says you're not a human being. You're not smart enough to vote. So no, you can't get past us. We're on a mission from God. And people say, oh, okay. So it took a very long time for black people to be able to vote. Now, of course, we didn't scare the people as badly as gay folks have scared them. Gay people, you scared the fuck out of people. Talk about you wanting to get mad, everybody say, ah! No, no, we gotta make a constitutional amendment to keep that shit from happening. And do you know that there were places in the country where black preachers from the pulpit said we would rather march with the Klan than see gay people get married. Again, I dropped my joint. I thought to myself, what the fuck did you just say? You'd rather march with the Klan? Fine. So what happens when all the gay people say, fine, we're not getting married. We stuck with the Klan. I mean, people were losing their minds over something that makes no sense to me. I always felt that if you was that concerned about gay folks getting married, don't marry one. What the fuck do you care? What do you care? What do you care? They ain't inviting you to the fucking wedding. You know? And in a funny way, gay people are new black people. Except with gay folks, they have a little passage they can point to with y'all. Mm. Yeah, they open it up to Leviticus. Leviticus. Man shall not lie with man. That's what Leviticus said. God said that. Gay people, you going to hell. Gay people say, and? Now, I don't know how many of you have read the Bible. I happen to like the Bible. It's got a lot of great metaphors. It's a great book. It's a great book of reading. But sometimes you have to sort of know what you're looking at. Have any of you ever read Leviticus? Yeah, but most of you haven't, have you? But you've heard that quote, because they say it all the time. Can I give you a couple more quotes from Leviticus? Just because if we're going to start introducing the Bible into our lives, in a new way. And I don't know which Bible I'm talking about because I don't know which God we're supposed to be talking about. Because sometimes God's a little confusing. Sometimes you read it and it says, listen, an eye for an eye. Then sometimes it says, thou shalt not kill. Then sometimes it says, turn the other cheek. What the fuck are you supposed to do? You know? So sometimes you kind of got to slow it down in your mind and take it thing by thing. But let me give you my favorite three things from Leviticus. My first one is, any child that curses its parent shall be put to death. So let's figure, whoosh, half the audience is gone. My second favorite quote is, any man who touches a bed in which a woman with her period has lain in shall be put to death. Whoosh! The other half of the audience is gone. But my absolute favorite, and we'll see how many of the audience is left after this one, because it has to do with animals, says, any man who has sexual relations with an animal shall be put to death, and so shall the animal. I think that part's fucked up. Because what, did the sheep seduce you? And what happens to the sheep who's going, no, 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 no? You know? I'm just saying. Just some things to keep in mind. That's all I'm saying. Just some things to keep in mind, because you know, if you're gonna take shit literally, you gotta be a little careful about it. And I started to think about these things because 20 years ago, I took a trip. I took a trip to Amsterdam. And Amsterdam was wonderful, man. It was a beautiful place to go. And one of the things that I loved about it was that it had all these canals running through the cities, and it had little bridges connecting neighborhoods to each other. And I remember walking down the streets of Amsterdam, and I was looking at things, and I happened to find myself in what had been a warehouse district. But by the time I got there, it was more upscale, you know? And I happened to see a building, I don't know why I took to it, but I did. But I could see that there was a plaque on it, so I walked over to it, and I read it said the Anne Frank House. And I thought, Anne Frank. I knew the name, you know, but I didn't really remember what I knew, because it was, you know, in the past, I read it in history, but it wasn't, you know, in my life, because I wasn't here for World War II. I know terrible things happened, but I didn't have a connection to it. It's kind of like 9/11 is going to be for those who are not yet born. It will be historic information to them. They will not have the same connection to it as we do. But I thought, well, I'm here and I'm seeing this. Let me go in and see if I can work my mind up and start to remember something. So I went through, and the first thing you see when you step through the doors is a pedestal. And on the pedestal, there's a plexiglass box. And in the box, there's this Oscar. And I remember thinking, what the fuck is Oscar doing here? You know, because you don't just see Oscars laying around and shit. But then I read the little plaque, and it said, this Oscar was presented to Miss Shelley Winters for her portrayal of Mrs. Van Damme in the movie The Diary of Anne Frank. Miss Winters then presented this Oscar to the Anne Frank House. And I thought that was so cool, you know, because I'm told these awards are prestigious for actors and shit, you know. No, really, you know, I don't watch it that often, you know. But... you know, but usually they get it and they take it home. You never see it again. But somehow Chalet wasn't having that, you know? Chalet said, look here, man, I won this in Anne Frank's honor. So I'm not taking this to my house. I'm taking this to the Anne Frank house. I was so moved by that shit, I wanted to flip a dread to Chalet, man. I'm telling you, yeah. So I got past that and I stepped into an area. And what was interesting to me about it was it had all these gigantic black and white photographs. Huge. They looked like they were suspended from midair. And they were photographs of Amsterdam. Amsterdam before the war, Amsterdam during the war, Amsterdam after the war. And they were photographs of these buildings, you know, in places. And it was photographs of the people in all different stages. And I remember thinking as I looked at some of the buildings in these pictures, did I pass any of these? Do I have any connection to what I've seen here? And I realized that probably I hadn't passed them because they probably weren't there anymore. But when I looked at the pictures of the people's faces, I kept thinking I saw people I knew. You know what I mean? I'm looking, I'm thinking, what the fuck is Uncle Henry doing here, man? And you know what it is? I believe there's only 10 original faces in the world. And the rest of us are variations on those faces. That's why when we're someplace that's away from home, you always kind of look up and just out the corner of your eye, you always think you see somebody you know, you just go to wave. I think that's our humanity reaching out, saying, am I safe? Am I home somewhere? Am I okay? And that's what I was feeling when I was in there, because this was all about us, just human beings and shit. And the more I looked at these pictures, I got to tell you, man, the prouder I was to be an American. I mean, truly. Because I looked at these pictures and I thought to myself, this is some European shit. This shit would not happen in America. I knew that in America, nobody was gonna allow somebody to come and kick your door in and drag you away for speaking out against the government. I knew in America that nobody was gonna sit by and let somebody kick your door in and drag you away for having a different religious belief than they did. I knew in America nobody's gonna sit by and let somebody drag you away because you had a different sexual preference. I knew that shit wasn't gonna happen because I seen how hard we worked to make the shit right in the country. And I was so proud to be an American, man. I looked and I thought, goddamn, thank you. And I puffed up. You know, I puffed up. I was walking around like Americans do when we away from home, talking about, yeah. And I walked and preened. And I saw that there was a bookcase, and it kind of looked a little bit like it was out of place. So I walked over to it, and I realized that it was out of place because it was a movable bookcase. It had been slid to the side, and when you looked around it, you could see that there was this, like, stairway wooden old rickety stairway. And I wanted to see where it was going, you know, and I started to go. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to slow it down because I suddenly realized what I looked like to people, which is a big old junkie. That's what I am. That's what I look like. And I thought, don't scare the people, you know, just go slow, you know. So that's what I started to do, but nobody was stopping me or anything. So I got up there, and I stepped into what felt like a gigantic space. But the longer I was in it, it started to feel smaller and smaller. And I was looking at some of the walls, and I saw that they had wallpaper on it, you know. It was old wallpaper, you know, the kind that's up on the wall, but it's cracking and peeling and fading and shit. It had water stains on it. But then when I looked really close, I saw that some of the things I thought were water stains turned out to be little baskets of flowers that had faded over time. And I happened to notice that off to my left on a wall, there were pictures on it that looked like they had been torn out of some old movie magazine, you know, pictures of old movie stars. And I started to chuckle, man, because, you know, I did that shit when I was a kid. I used to take pictures out and put them up on the wall. And the more I looked around, the clearer my thinking got. And I realized I was in the space where Anne Frank and her family hid. And as I stood there, I tried to figure out whether I could have done what they did. Because, you know, they was there, what, 2.5 years or something. And they was in that space 24/7. They couldn't move for, like, all that time. They had 1 hour in the day that they could do anything they needed to do. And I stood there trying to figure out, could I have done it, man? Because, you know, I like to think that I'm a hero. You know, I like to think that if the Nazis had come to me, I'd have fucked the Nazi up, man. Same with the Klan. I figure I'd snatch off a hood, poke him in the eyes, kick him in the nuts, and walk him out the door, man. You know what I mean? But the more I started to remember about what happened, the clearer it got that I didn't have that in me. We'd all like to think we do, but we have not been challenged in that way. You know, so it's easy for us to imagine what we would have done. But faced with the reality, man, I stood there and I thought, fuck, I couldn't have done this. I really couldn't, and it hurt me to discover I wasn't the person I would like to be. So I thought, well, maybe I should just get out of here because I don't want to befoul the space, you know. So I came back downstairs. I was just about to go out the door when I saw one more thing. And it was, again, huge, and it was a big sign. And on it, it said, in spite of everything, I still believe there's good in people. And I thought, who the fuck put this up? This is the wrong place to hang this shit. I was mad, because I thought it was inappropriate, you know? And I started to go off, and I happened to notice the author's name, the author of the quote. And it said, Anne Frank, and then I lost my mind. I really did, because I thought, what the fuck, you really thought after everything you saw, after everything you had to go through, you actually thought people were better? Fuck that, you didn't even make it. I was mad. And I started storming out, man, and something said, you know what, Fontaine, stop. Go back, reread it, which is what I did. And then I got it. I totally got it, man. In spite of everything, I still believe there's good in people. Yeah. That's the key to survival. Because you have to believe that something better is there. That's how come you keep going straight. Otherwise, just take your own life. If you don't think it can get better, and that's what this little girl did. She went straight, man. She kept believing it till the moment she died. And I thought, fuck, out of the mouths of babes, often comes a lot of bullshit. But sometimes, a kid will say something so profound that it drops you to your knees. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna try to take this quote and live it, make it part of my daily living life. Believing strongly, take it with you. And that's what I did for the last 20 years. I've been trying to live this idea of in spite of everything. Now, I'd be a liar if I told you I was always successful. I would be a liar. I would be a damn liar if I told you I didn't still kick the shit out of a lot of people, beat the fuck out of them. But I didn't beat them as hard as I could have. Because I knew that there still could be some good in those people. And so I've been carrying this. And I've been trying to make it work for me today. And it's hard, you know, because I'm still mad about everything that happened. I'm mad at both sides, man. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, fuck them all. That's how I'm feeling. I'm mad, man, you know. And my head was down. My head was down. I was walking down the street, lip was out. I was just like, oh, we lost, we lost, we lost. And then some said to me, you know what? They're going to be here another 4 years. And if you don't pick your fucking head up, some shit's going to go down, and it's really going to piss you off. And I thought, you know what? That's right, because when the shit goes down, you want your head up and your mouth closed. So that's what I did. Yeah, it just hit you, didn't it? Yeah. Because you want to see the shit. You don't want to have to eat it. You know what I mean? So I put my head up so I could keep an eye on what was going on. A lot of strange things are happening, man. A lot of things. And I look at shit and I think, God damn, is anybody seeing this? And I decided probably most people might not be seeing it. I've been watching the news, man. There's a lot of shit on the news, but not from the newscasters. Everything you need to know is in that fucking crawl. You know what I mean? Because the crawl is going by and your eyes are not paying attention to that shit. And they figure, okay, we're going to tell them every way we're going to get them. They'll never know, but we could say it was on the crawl. And I used to catch shit out the corner of my eye. I'd be like, whoa, whoa, wait, goddamn shit, fuck. Now I got that TiVo shit. Oh, yeah, I stopped that motherfucker now. I write it down. And I've seen some crazy shit. I've seen things on the crawl about immigrants, people who are trying to become citizens of the country. And I always thought once you took the oath of allegiance to the U.S., that was it. You was a citizen. But people trying to fuck with that. They're just floating ideas around of how to make it not so solid. That kind of scares me. But maybe it's not bothering other people because y'all figure you're here. But are you? You know, because there's all kinds of shit going on. I look out sometimes and I think I'm nervous about everybody. And I know we all concerned about terrorism and shit. But the face of terrorism keeps changing. Used to be some white people. Turned out it was, yeah, it was some white folks. People was in shock. They were like, no, white people don't do things like that. Surprise! It was some white people. And then suddenly everybody was nervous about white people. White people was looking at white people going, Black people was looking at white people going, told you. And then suddenly we're in Baltimore with some fucking lunatic brothers are just shooting people out the fucking blue. They said, oh, that's some black people. All the white people was like, told you. Then it was some Middle Eastern people. And everybody said, oh, shit. But now as I look out at y'all, you realize you all fit all the profiles. The only one you know ain't gonna fuck up is me because I'm high all the time. But think about it. I mean, truly, because you know the truth of the matter is, if Jesus decided to come back, he couldn't get in the country. He fits all the profiles. And no amount of explaining, walking on water, or changing water into wine is gonna help the motherfucker get in. So I just think it's some shit to keep in mind. Also, when I see things that truly freak me out, I start to hum. I do. I start humming that song that Sting and the Police used to sing, you know, every move you make. Yeah, I see it, and I just want them to know. I know they can't hear me through the TV, but I just want them to know, man. I just, every vow you break, every claim you stake, every smile you fake, I'll be watching you. And I see a lot of people starting to hum that shit too. Yeah, people walking down the street just like, And Democrats and Republicans, Because they figure nobody's watching. That's why they can sneak some shit through. You know, somebody was telling me they was floating an idea of being able to remove from gay parents who've adopted children. If they've only had them for 2 years, they want to find a way to remove them. This is being discussed. You know, choice is going away. All kinds of shit is, yeah, man. You know? Because we wasn't prepped for this shit. So now it's on the edge. But I kind of figure if y'all maybe start singing, I'll be watching you. Just that phrase. Now, I don't want you to have to do it in front of the cameras because I know, you know, they can pick people out of the audience. Yeah. Suddenly you get a call from the IRS and shit. You know? But you could think it in your heart or hum it in your mind. But hum it. Believe it. If we're watching, it makes it harder to fuck us over. That's my belief. So that's why I say, every move you make, every vow you break, every claim you stake, every smile you fake,